This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Thanksgiving Part 3, was delivered on November 29th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Thank you, James. All right, good morning, family. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Now, we're not going to start our diet until January 1st because we still got Christmas, all right? So I hope that you had a safe one. We had a small gathering with just my family. We couldn't finish nearly all the food that was made. We're so blessed. And Cammy, we ate unhealthy. Sorry to say that. You're a health coach, and pumpkin and custard and stuffing and, you know, just all the stuff that you probably would be saying, like, sometimes you see, when you have a health coach in your church, you just, when you see them, you just, like, turn the other direction and, like, because you know it's like, oh, gosh, I cannot face her because I know I didn't eat good. But, you know, Thanksgiving is one day, and we're trying to be thankful on that one day, and it's kind of easy to be thankful for on that one day. But how can we live in a thankful, grateful way every day? I mean, I think that's the goal of today's message, is to live every day thankful, no matter what, being thankful. Because how many of you would like to hang around or work with or live with an ungrateful, grumbling person? How many of you? Come on, be honest. One guy. You better not be talking about your wife. And for the sake of your marriage, I'm not going to mention your name. But it's like, when you're around that kind of people, it's like you kind of get this like negative feeling, like, you know, you see those people, and that's the people you avoid in the supermarket. That's the people you avoid when you go to a party and you see them sitting on one table. You go on the other side of the room and sit on another table. Or if you're at the party and they come sit next to you, you're like, oh, excuse me, I gotta go bathroom. And you come back 2 hours later, right? I mean, but what if that person was you? Oh, you ever look in the mirror and say, am I that negative, grumbling person? Is that me? I believe that no matter how good and how positive you may be, and there is so much of you in this church that's always... You always have a good attitude. You're always positive. There's always room for improvement. Amen? Galatians 6, 3-5. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without complaining, without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. You know, what if I can get away from negative people? You know, because sometimes there's always that one or two in your life. Sometimes you might have more. But what if you got to work with them all week? What if you got to live with them? What do you do? You know, when I had difficult people in my life, and it was not in my home. I think when my children were young and everything, the difficult person was, before I came to Christ, the difficult person was me. And I feel sorry for my wife and my children for the years that they had to put up with living with me. My children still remind me of the things that I did. And it's like, man, I know I feel bad. Can't you stop bringing those things up? And they do it just to make fun of me. But what if you work with those type of people? You know, and when I had to work with people who were just so hard and so demanding, and I couldn't get away, you know, like 40, 50 hours a week you would work with them. And if you're listening and you were working with me, I'm not going to mention names, but this is what I did. I got up extra early in the morning to read my Bible, to get me through the day. I got up extra, and after I did that, I went to work early before everyone got there. I took out my anointing oil, and I anointed everybody's workstation, and I prayed for them in secret. It works. And I suggested that to some of you should try it. You know, go to work before everybody gets there. Go anoint their station and pray for them. When they come into work, what's that fragrance? It's the anointing oil. You know, sometimes we lose sight of our thankfulness. We get distracted. We get sidetracked because of our attitude. Seriously, we forget the things that we have. And so in order for us, I think, to live every day being thankful, number one, we got to get rid of the entitlement attitude. I mean, I think some of us have a little bit of this, even though if you may not think it. You know, Luke 17:9, Jesus says this: he does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? You know, if we obey God, we have done our duty, we should think of it like, oh, it's an honor and a privilege that I get to serve the King of Kings. Sometimes we feel that we deserve an extra blessing for serving God. Remember, obedience is not something extra we do. Obedience to God is not like something extra we do. It's like if you call yourself a Christian, obedience to God is your duty. That's what we are called to do. Jesus is not suggesting that when we serve, it's meaningless or useless, nor is he telling us to do away with rewards. He is attacking the unwarranted self-esteem, spiritual pride, like, hey, I get up, I come here at 5, and I do this, and I do that, and, you know, and I appreciate that. You know, if you were required to deliver 10 pizzas an hour for your entire shift, and you did that, you did what was required of you, nothing more, nothing less. That's what it's saying. Then if the boss doesn't tell you thanks, then you shouldn't get offended because that's what you were required to do. Now, if I did 15 an hour, then maybe a thanks would be nice. But do I feel entitled to it? It's like you work hard all day long and you come home and you feel entitled that dinner should be ready on the table, hot, so you can just come in, sit down, and eat. How many of you hardworking people feel entitled to that? As soon as you get home, food better be ready on the table. Your nice ice cold beverage right there. Yeah, and sometimes I do the cooking, so I love to have that for my wife. But when I work and she's home, Sometimes I feel like, wow, it's my turn. I'm entitled to that. But I am not. I am not. I changed my... Before days, I used to feel like that. But I changed my attitude. You know, if you understand that whenever you work, whatever you do for the Lord, then you wouldn't need thanks from your boss. It would be nice, but you wouldn't need it because you know that when I work, when I do things, and I do my job, it is done for God. Sometimes we gotta get rid of the I deserve idea. We deserve nothing. And what if God gave you what you deserve? Oof. Oh. If God gave me what I deserve, like I said, I'd be dust. Some people say, well, I deserve a better job. I deserve a better spouse, a better car, a nicer home. Sometimes even our friends tell us, hey, you deserve a raise. You work so hard. You deserve to be treated better. You deserve a new car. Well, I drive an older car and I love it. Some people, your friends say, you deserve a nicer home. Tell your husband, go fix the house. Yeah. When we say we deserve, we usually mean that we want or we desire. And we feel entitled to it. Now, for me, I try to put my attitude as I am not entitled to anything. But if I do get something, then I will attribute that to God blessing me, and I will be grateful, not thinking that I deserve it. Because if I got what I deserve from God, I'd be in serious trouble because I'm not a holy or perfect saint. I got work to do. I got work to do on me. In Deuteronomy 25:4, it says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. Now, some people are entitled to certain things. If you do your job according to what is written, then you're entitled to your paycheck. Now, if you're a boss, you're entitled to your employees showing up to work on time, working for the entire time that they're paid, and clocking out when they're finished, right? Because how many of you, we go to work, turn on a computer, boom, right to Amazon. Oh, especially on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, right? You're getting paid by your boss. They're entitled for you to do your time, but you're shopping. Guilty. And I can make every justification. Oh, I'm on Amazon looking for cables for the church. Or, I'm on looking for hand sanitizer. We can justify everything. Seriously, yeah, those are the ones, like the bosses, they're entitled to you doing your time. I got this book, somebody gave me this book, The Entitlement Cure, and I was like, really? Me? Come on. I'm the least guy who thinks I'm entitled to things. Then when I started reading this book, and I was like, wow, very interesting. And then I got called to go to a funeral. And when I went to the mortuary, there was two cars parked in the clergy parking. Oh, I was like wild. And then I remembered that book. It's like, oh my gosh, I do have entitlement problems because I thought I was entitled to these parking stalls. Oh my gosh. Oh, park away. And it's like, oh my Lord, I really do need work. I guess when somebody gave me that book, they knew what they were doing. You see, I felt entitled to that parking stall when it's just there for convenience. So we got to get rid of that that attitude, like, oh, but I'm entitled to this. I'm the pastor. I'm entitled to do that. I'm the pastor, so therefore I get to stand in line last for the food. And if there's any donuts less, sorry, I cannot look at Cammy. If there's any donuts left, then I can eat it. And that's the way I look at it, because Saturday morning at men's ministry, Doc brings a nice box of donuts. And if there's any left, then I take it as God says yes. But in the last several weeks, there was none left. So I got the hint. Cammy is probably praying, like, oh, Lord, praying for our pastor to eat healthy. Like I said, I got two options from my doctor. Up my medicine. No. Okay, you don't want to up your medicine then. Exercise and eat better. So if I call you soon, then you know why. Okay, so number two, we got to change. I have to I get to. Sometimes when my wife, she's so wonderful, Saturday evening, oh, I got to iron your clothes. I thought, honey, you don't have to do nothing. I can wear wrinkled clothes to church. But everybody's going to look at you. They're not going to look at me. I'm sorry. But that's the way it is. When you see a guy with wrinkled clothes, you're going to think, oh, he's single, or you're going to look at his wife. Right? So I thought, you don't have to do anything if you don't want to. But you get to if you want to. So I keep saying, you don't have, I mean, really, if you don't want to go to work, you don't have to go to work. Don't expect a paycheck in 2 weeks if you don't want to, you know. But I get to go to work. I get to do this. I get to do that. In Matthew 4, 19 and 20, Jesus said, and he said to them, follow you me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left the nets and followed him. They didn't have to go. Man, and I know Jesus is calling all of you, follow me. Come, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Imagine, like some of the versions say, they left their nets. They left their nets with their dad to clean up. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like you go fishing on the boat and Jesus comes, follow me, but you leave the boat for somebody else to wash. Oh, I think it all comes down to our attitude. We need to treat every single day as a gift from God. Whether it's sunny or even if it has been raining for the last 3 weeks. I mean, I'm over this rain. Everything around my house is soggy. And it's like, I'm tired, but you know what? I'm still grateful. When you get up in the morning, man, thank you, Jesus, for another day. You know, when I'm in my garage cutting up pieces of wood, oh, I'm having so much fun, and I'm singing sawdust all over, and I'm, you know, and when I go to my office in the morning, and I like to get there like before 5, and I'm in there by myself singing and having a blast with the radio on. When we go to bed, you know, especially when I get to get up at like 4:30, and I get to be productive all the way to like 5 or 6 o'clock, and then by 7:30, I'm so tired that I fall asleep sometimes before 8 o'clock. And when I'm falling asleep and I'm like, oh, Lord, my Fitbit said I was active for 9 hours, but more like was 12, so you lie. And when I go to bed after a full day of work, I look to God and I say, oh, thank you so much, because I feel so good. You know, it's been several months since I had one of those couch potato days that you sit down and watch TV. How many of you have those recently? Yeah, I haven't had one of those in a long time, and maybe I need one soon, but oh, I feel so good. Because a lot of times when I do my devotions, I ask God, God, give me a productive day. I mean, I know the Bible talks about rest, and I think I get my rest from cutting wood. Because I feel so energized. And I can do that all day and have fun. But the moment I take a shower and I sit down, the aches and pains settle in. You know, I just treat every day as like, thank you. And when someone asks you to do something, you gotta say, wow, I don't have to. Right? I don't have to, but I get to. And when you ask something, remember the words of Jesus in Acts 20:35. In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So when your spouse asks you to do something, you know, just say, oh, I get to serve my spouse in such a way that shows my love. Guarantee. You know what my wife did for me yesterday? I gotta tell you this. I was at men's ministry. When I came home, my truck was gone. My truck that was loaded up with rubbish, heaps and heavy stuffs. She took my truck and she threw away the rubbish. I'm sure she never said, oh, I gotta go empty the rubbish. She probably said, I show him I get to do this. And I was like, wow. I was like, whoa. I was like so stoked. I was like, wow, my wife did that. Sorry, wives, I just made you look bad in front of your husbands, and you can stone me later on, but man, I was like, oh. I was just like, not that she does that often, but I was like, because I had all kinds of stuff. I was cleaning up the house. So number three here, don't compare or covet. When we look at others, you know, like our human nature kind of kicks in and we compare. And when that starts, a chain reaction starts and we begin to become discontent at what we got. Hebrews 13:5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Being content with what you have, for he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You know, I think he's saying here, don't worry about what they have. As long as you have me, he's saying, Jesus said, as long as you have me in your life, you're going to be okay. You know, I think if you desire to have more stuff, right? If you desire to have more cars, more fishing poles, more coolers, more instruments, more ukuleles, like, I don't know how much Walt has, but he probably has like 20. But if you know why? Or maybe you know why he has 20? Because he took care of the one he had. He was a good steward of it. So God said, oh, okay, you take care of that. I can give you more. If you want more stuff, then maybe you got to take care of what God has entrusted you with now so he can give you more. How can we learn to be satisfied with what we have? How can we strive to live with less rather than more? You know, I think Sometimes our problem is we look at what we don't have instead of what we have. You know, we look at my boat is 13 feet, but I look at Scott's boat is 21 feet, and I look at what I don't have. And by the way, I don't have a boat because I get seasick really bad. I get seasick in the passenger seat of a car. So these guys keep inviting me to go with them fishing. I will break their record for throwing up, and we don't want that. We kind of look at stuff we don't have, and then we have this resentment. It's like, wow, God, come on, I work hard, and I'm entitled to this. Ha-ha, entitlement cure. There's a book. In fact, there's a video you can watch. It's called The Entitlement Creed on YouTube. You can watch that video. Show it to your children. I mean, really. You know, in this video, they entitle children or kids, young adults come out of college, and you should say, I'm entitled to a six-figure job. Oh, okay. When we can become satisfied with God in our relationship with Him, then we can realize that God's sufficiency is all we need. In Philippians 4:11, not that I speak from want, this is Paul, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. I swear, if I wasn't married to my wife, I would still have a flip phone. Because she bought me my first smartphone because I guess my other phone was dumb. And you try send a text with a flip phone. How many times you got to press 7 to get S? Huh? You thought about that. You try text somebody with a flip phone and they got to say S. It's like you got to press it like 3 times, 4 times just to get the letter S. Now I realize how dumb my phone was, but if I had a phone, if I didn't have my wife, I probably still have my flip phone. And then she got me a smartphone, and you know what that meant? That means I had to answer all of your texts. So when I answer your text, oh, thank God for Christy. Paul learned how to live with a little or a lot. He learned to be content. You know, sometimes we have an iPhone, and then the new one comes out, and we look at what we don't have, and we become discontent. Right? 1 Timothy 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. You heard that? When you leave this world, you're going to leave me all your fishing poles, tools. I don't know what I'd do with the musical instruments, but I probably would not know what to do with it. So you cannot take anything out of it. And even if you got buried with your tools and your fishing poles, you're still not taking them with you. If we have food, we have covering, we have God, then with these we shall be content. And if He so desires, He will bless you with a boat and a fishing pole and instruments and tools and all these other things. Seek me first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Sometimes we live next to people that get nice stuff. And I live to neighbors who get nice stuff. And it's great. And I say, you know, good for you because God blesses you. You know, to covet is to wish to have the possessions of others. It goes beyond simply admiring somebody else's possession or thinking, I'd like to have one of those. Coveting includes envy and resenting the fact that others have what you don't. I wish people would covet us. Like, oh, I wish I had their God. I wish I had their attitude. Then you can say, well, you can. It's free. God knows that possessions never make someone happy for long, right? You get a brand new toy. You're happy for a little while, and then you're just discontent because a new model comes out and you want that. And since only God can supply all of our needs, true contentment is found in Him. When we begin to covet something, try to determine if it's a basic need or is it leading you to envy. For example, maybe you may covet someone's success, not because you want to take it away, but maybe because you want to feel appreciated by others as that person is. In this case, pray that God will help you deal with resentment and meet your basic needs. See, I want each of us to live every day, every single day that God allows you to wake up. Whew, thank you, Jesus. You have chosen me to live another day. Get up and say, God, who do you want me to share with today? Who needs hope? Who needs to hear that word? Come follow me. We gotta like get rid of these entitlement attitudes. We gotta change. I have to, because in reality, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to breathe. You don't have to take that next breath, and you could just die. But you gotta say, I get to. And if you have a job, and you say, oh, I don't like go work today, I'm tired, just say, you know what? I get to go to work today. And 2 weeks later, when you're entitled to that paycheck, oh, I thank God I did go to work, right? How many of you like the paycheck without doing the work? Yeah? Yeah, I think we all do. But every day, live thankful. Not just the fourth Thursday. Is it the fourth Thursday in November? Not just that one day, but every single day, we be thankful. And when people ask you, like, how can you be so thankful every day? Tell them, because my God supplies all my needs. I want us to live every day thankful, grateful. Thankful for the things that we got, the clothes on our back, sometimes the stuff that we take for granted, the shoes, the washing machine in your house, right? Because if you had to go to the laundromat, you know what it's like. Right, Grant? You had to do that for a season. And I said, like, oh, brother, come to my house and wash your laundry. But I guess he didn't want to. I don't know. And what if you had to pick up ice every day because you don't have a refrigerator? How many of you did that? I did that for a season. Every single day, picking up one block of ice because the Coleman ice chest was my refrigerator. And when you have a little bit of electricity on temporary power, you cannot plug in the rice pot and the toaster oven at the same time, right? How many of you had to use the bathroom in a bucket or stick one water hose through the bathroom window to take a shower? Yeah, we take those things for granted. People live like that. So be thankful for what you have. Be thankful that we have a place to come on Sunday. Because some churches are just saying, no, we're not going to open. Sorry. And if you cannot watch online, then what? It's so sad. And I hope during this season that we do not lose anybody, but we gain people. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and give the Lord some thanks. Thank you, Jesus. So on the fifth Sundays, which is like 3 or 4 times a year, we do take a missions offering. And if you need an envelope, you can see Myra over there. But if you do put it in an envelope, just put mission so we can separate it. And if you cannot give, no worry. But I ask you to pray. Or you can give online, same way, but instead of tithes and offerings, just select the category of missions. But we support the Foursquare Missions Press. They do a wonderful job. They print material and they send it out to missionaries all over the world. So instead of just supporting one missionary, we support them all. And you gotta see the setups they got, the printing presses they have. It is just incredible. And they have stuff that secretly they can get into countries where printed material is not allowed, and they get the printers into these places. But because we're on Facebook and because this could go all over, I better not say too much. Yeah, but if you cannot give, don't worry. I would ask you to pray for our missionaries and our missions press that they would be able to send printed material to all those who need it. Amen. So you can give that way. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we get to give to our Foursquare Missions Press, who does just an incredible job of sending printed material to all of our missionaries, to those who need hope in this desperate time. Lord, I ask that you would bless our missions offering, that we would get this to our missions press, and they would use it to print material and send it to the remotest parts of the world to reach the lost for you. We thank you that we get to give. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Before we sing our last song, I do want to give those of you on Facebook and anybody here who never had the chance to receive Jesus, because he is your only hope. He can help you to live a thankful life. So I want to give you the chance to ask Jesus to be a Lord and Savior for those of you out there. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, pray with me. Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
And I turn to you.
And I turn to you.
Come live in me.
Come live in me.
Change me.
Change.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse.
Make me the person.
You want me to be.
I receive you, Jesus,
receive you, Jesus,
as my personal Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to pray for you. Lord, you have heard the prayers of their people. And your word says that when one person repents, all heaven rejoices. So Lord, if anybody had prayed that prayer, understand and know this, that heaven is rejoicing for the choice that you made today. And if you have made that choice, let us know somehow. Email us, text us, whatever it may be, so we can help you in your walk with the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day. And we pray that from this day forward, we would be thankful. And when we lose sight of being thankful, we would check our attitude. We would look in the mirror, look to you, and make some adjustments, that we would be thankful. And let it be contagious to all those around us. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Could you stand with me? We're going to sing and jump and dance.
Before we sing, I just wanted to share, I am so thankful we have a real strong men's group. And I just hope that if you guys want to find out how strong we are and what we do, we meet every second and fourth Saturday and at 5:30 over here. And Pastor and James, they serve They don't just serve. They serve. And we eat. But anyway, this song we're singing right now, I really, really believe that it's strongly in our men's heart, you know. And that's the reason I think we have a strong men's group, because our men here, they serve the Lord with all their hearts. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.